Hello and welcome to In the Kitchen with Mary Mac. Today's classic recipe is Detroit-style pizza. If you've been following our social media, I've been posting pictures of my testing of this recipe for a while. I have enjoyed making this pizza more than I ever thought I would. It's a good pizza. If you've never had Detroit-style pizza, it's a little different than probably any pizza you've ever had. It's very similar to a Sicilian-style pizza, which we did last year or the year before. It's not as thick as a Sicilian, but it's very similar. It's kind of the same style. The main difference between a Detroit-style pizza and other rectangular pizzas is the type of cheese that it uses. It's called Wisconsin brick cheese. You may have heard of brick cheese before, but it's very specifically Wisconsin brick cheese. And this cheese is a soft cheese. It's white. It's very similar to Munster, I would say, probably the closest taste that I can say, you know, from eating it. It's buttery. It's not a strong flavored cheese, and it melts pretty good. You know how like good mozzarella or provolone strings, you know, on a pizza. It doesn't do that really. And some of it will actually kind of stay a little bit solid when you make your pizza, but it's a nice melting cheese. It's really tasty, to be honest. I mean, it's the kind of cheese that you can just eat it, you know, and it's good. So that's really the main difference between that and I would say like Sicilian pizza or any kind of a square style pizza. So this is a project. This particular type of pizza is a project because your dough takes a long time to rise. The whole dough process is about 2.5 hours. I do everything at the same time. Like while my dough is rising, I cook the sauce, I prep the ingredients, I get everything ready. And it's not too bad. The last one I made, I started at around 2 p.m. and I got everything going. And we had a completed pizza by about 6, I think, because of the rise times and stuff like that. So it's not terrible. So if you know you're going to be home, this is one of those, like I always say, if the weather's crummy, if it's too cold, too hot, whatever, great time to make a pizza. If you know you're going to be home Sunday afternoon or something, it's a great time to make it. And believe me, it is well worth the effort. So here we go for the Detroit-style pizza. First, the pan. You're going to make this in a 9x13 metal pan, preferably a dark metal pan that has a nonstick coating. However, I got the king of 9x13 pans for Christmas from my daughter, Leslie. And this pan, this is made by USA Pan, which is located in Western Pennsylvania, I think in Ambridge. This pan, I'm not kidding when I say this is the king of pans. It's a very heavy steel pan. It's coated with a nonstick coating, and it has a ridged or ruffled bottom and sides on it. It's not smooth on the bottom. It might be weird for making a cake in. I haven't tried a cake in it yet. Great for Detroit style pizza because the crust on the pizza kind of fries in the pan. So with the USA style pan, which you need to rush out and get, I hope USA decides to sponsor us. Wouldn't that be cool? Sponsor Mary Mac Bakehouse. I love this pan so much. I'm doing this commercial for free, okay? So the USA pan, the reason it works so well is because when you make a Detroit-style pizza, and also the same for what we said with the Sicilian-style pizza, you put oil in the pan, you know, like a tablespoon or two of oil, olive oil in the pan, and the oil goes into the bottom of the ripples and the dough sits on top, but it fries the dough and makes it real nice and crispy. But when you take it out, it's not greasy at all. When I've made the Sicilian pizza in my other type of pans, and well, actually, the first couple times I made this pizza, I made it in my regular non-stick 9x13 pans. The bottom crust is kind of greasy, you know, like when you take it out of the pan, it comes right out, which is beautiful, but it's kind of greasy. If that bothers you, having it be real greasy on the bottom. It doesn't really bother me, but sometimes it's a lot. You know what I mean? So I was amazed at how the crust was able to fry like that and not be greasy at all. They call it the Nipa style pizza that people make that comes from Northeast Pennsylvania. That's kind of like a Sicilian pizza. A lot of shops do that style, and it's they're so greasy, it's ridiculous. And it's the same with Sicilian. A lot of times Sicilian is so greasy like that. But this pan solves that problem, and it does a great job, and it's so heavy that it really conducts the heat well. So definitely, if you're looking for a 9x13 pan to do Detroit-style pizzas in, look for a USA pan, because it's the bomb, I'm telling you, it's the bomb. So, okay, enough about the pan, my love affair with the USA pans, sorry. Now we'll go on to the recipe. So the crust for this, it's very simple. It's a pretty easy crust to make. The one thing you need to remember is you want to leave the dough a little bit sticky. So I have a couple good tricks for how this works. So here you go. For the crust, you need 2 cups of flour. I used Robin Hood. You can use bread flour or all-purpose flour, whichever you like or have, but 2 cups of flour plus some extra for kneading. You need 1 teaspoon of yeast or 1 packet of yeast, 1.5 teaspoons of salt, kosher or sea salt, 1 cup of very warm water, and then you'll need olive oil for coating the dough while it rises and for baking. So what you want to do is get a nice big bowl, not a giant bowl, but maybe like a 1 to 1.5 gallon bowl like that, you know, like your biggest mixing bowl would be perfect. Put all your dry ingredients in there and stir them up with a wooden spoon. Now add your warm water and stir that in really well and just keep stirring it. And the dough's going to stick and stretch while you're stirring that. So you're kind of like kneading it with your wooden spoon. Add a little bit of flour at a time. What I'd like you to do, like when you're doing this, is stir it around the bowl, turn it over, fold it over, pull it around, you know, put a little more flour in until it starts to stick together and starts to form a ball. So then you're going to take a good, strong rubber scraper. Scrape your spoon off real good, scrape around the bowl to gather the dough into a ball, and then knead it in the bowl for several minutes while adding flour to help it not stick to you. You can also knead it with your very heavy rubber scraper. Just take your rubber scraper and slide it down the sides of the bowl and pull up on the dough and fold it over and keep turning the bowl. Add a little flour as needed. Then you don't have to get your hands all gucky, you know? That works really well. Once you do that for several minutes, you'll see that the dough is beginning to really come together as a ball. It's going to be a little bit sticky, but you should be able to, with floured hands, pick that dough up and have it into a ball. I don't know how much flour you need to add. I would say probably 1/2 cup to 3/4 cup to get it to that point, but you just want it to be a nice ball of slightly sticky dough. You want to oil your bowl. You can use the same bowl if you clean it real good with the rubber scraper. Put some flour on your table, set that ball of dough on the flour, scrape the bowl real good, and then put some olive oil in the bowl, probably about 1 teaspoon or 2 teaspoons, and put your dough into the bowl and then drizzle a little olive oil on top and turn it a couple times so it's coated. And then cover the bowl with plastic wrap and put it in your oven with the light on, not the heat, just the light on in your oven, which I learned keeps your oven warm, surprisingly warm. You might say shockingly warm. I never heard of doing that before. I just learned this like 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was I've been trying to make focaccia bread. And I'm reading this lady's recipe and she said, put it in the oven and turn your oven light on. And I was like, I hate to even say, because then you'll know kind of how old I am. I've been baking for a really long time, and I never thought to do this, ever. Ever did I even think about it. So now I know. However, it works great. So you're going to put that ball of dough in your oven and you're going to let that rise for like 2 to 2.5 hours. Now, in the meantime, you're going to cook your sauce. The sauce for Detroit-style pizza is a little different than normal pizza sauce. So what you do is you make a sauce out of crushed tomatoes and you simmer it for about 1.5 hours. And it gets very, very thick. It'll even look dry on top. It'll get so thick. It's wonderful. So what you want to do there, you want to buy a can of good quality crushed tomatoes, a 28-ounce can. DeLallo is a good brand. Now, you can get the San Marzano, which, trust me, are not real San Marzano tomatoes, but they are San Marzano tomatoes. They just don't come from the place where legally you call them a San Marzano tomato. So you can get those if you like. You can get whatever good kind of crushed tomatoes with an Italian name on the can. Get those, okay? You need a teaspoon of oregano or Italian spice blend. You need a tablespoon of minced garlic. You need a half teaspoon of granulated garlic, a half teaspoon of granulated onion, a half teaspoon of kosher salt, a fourth teaspoon of black pepper, and a fourth teaspoon of red pepper flakes if you want them. If you don't want them, don't put them in. If that's too hot for you, don't put them in. So you want to mix all these together in a small, heavy-bottomed sauce pot and bring that to a light boil, then turn them down to a simmer and let them cook very slowly while the dough rises. You want to keep a good eye on them. I had mine, actually, once they came to a simmer, I put my burner on warm, and they just bubbled occasionally, you know, it just kind of cooked. I left the lid off. Once you get to that point where it looks like it's cooked down really well, you just take that off of the heat and set it aside and let it cool. You can put a lid on it then too, because you don't want it to be hot when you're putting it on the pizza. So just let that go for like 1.5 hours, set it aside and let it cool. Your dough is still rising, by the way. Next, your toppings. You need 1/2 pound of good quality pepperoni. I like margherita pepperoni. It's not greasy at all, which some people like that pepperoni grease. But this pizza, the pepperoni is inside, not on top. So you might not want a real greasy pepperoni. And I like margherita and it's got a good flavor too. So you get whatever you want, but that's my pick. And then you're going to need 1/2 pound of Wisconsin brick cheese. If you can't find Wisconsin brick cheese, use Munster because, like I said, it tastes very similar and it'll melt the same way. It'll be about the same melt. It's very similar flavor. I've heard it's hard to find Wisconsin brick cheese, but if you go to a good deli, I wouldn't look at a grocery store unless your grocery store has an excellent deli department.
Or if you're in Wisconsin.
But a good deli will have it. Arlington Market in Newcastle has it. So if you can't find it and you're close to where we're broadcasting from here, Arlington Market in Newcastle has it and a zillion other delicious Italian treats. Believe me, it is like the grown-up version of a candy store for Italian adults, I'm telling you. They have all the good stuff. So they do have it. And what you want to do is take that Wisconsin brick cheese and you want to cut that into 1/2-inch cubes. So what I did, I put it on a cutting board and I cut it into 1/2-inch thick slices. And then I cut those into strips and then cut them into cubes. And then put them in a container with a lid so they don't dry out. So your cheese is all ready. The reason you want the 1/2-inch squares is you want to be able to position it where you want it because that's important in this pizza. And the second thing is, when the cheese melts, you want it to leave a good cheese presence in its path. I don't know how else to say it. You don't want the cheese to just melt all over the place.
When you have the glacier of cheese melting.
When you make the pizza, you'll say, oh, now I know what she meant. She's really not crazy. That's what you'll say. I have written down, now that I've looked at this, 3 times the size of the pan and the note USA pan. In my recipe, because apparently I don't want to forget that. But anyway, here we go. We're getting ready to prepare to assemble our pizza, but we're not assembling our pizza, okay?
We're getting ready to prepare to assemble.
Because this takes a long time. So what you want to do is get your USA pan with the rippled bottom and grease it thoroughly with shortening. I've learned this lesson because I want that pizza to pop right out of there, all right? So grease your pan thoroughly with shortening. And then drizzle 1 or 2 tablespoons of olive oil into the pan. Whichever, I mean, if you're a light oil person, 1 tablespoon. If you're a heavy oil person, 2. Take your pan and roll it all around so the oil rolls around and coats the bottom. You don't need to get the oil up the sides, but I did put the shortening up the sides because I just didn't want cheese to stick all over it, you know, which I didn't think it would because honest to goodness, those pans are so slippy, but I don't know what your pan's like, so do your best. Now, you want to carefully remove the dough. Well, remove the dough from the oven and then carefully remove the dough from the bowl without deflating it, if possible. Use your rubber scraper, your heavy rubber scraper, and very carefully remove your dough from the bowl over your pan. And kind of, if you move your bowl while you're scraping the dough out, it'll kind of stretch it out. Don't press it down and try not to deflate it, but if it does, don't panic. Once you get it into the pan, very carefully with your fingertips, spread that dough out so it covers most of the pan as good as you can without pressing it down. And this sounds crazy, but this is exactly what you're doing. You just very carefully, a little bit at a time, stretch that dough so it goes into the corners and everything, and then cover your pan with plastic wrap and let it sit for 30 minutes so that dough can relax and move back out again. And you'll see it'll go, you know, if not into it, just about into the corners. Now you've got your sauce cooling that you've set aside. You have your pepperoni and your cheese ready, and you're ready to assemble your pizza. So what you want to do, after 30 minutes, remove that plastic wrap and carefully stretch the dough if you need to make sure that the dough's in the corners. The last time I did this, I did have to push it into the corners a little bit, but the time before it went, so you know, sometimes it's going to move and sometimes you might have to help it. Preheat your oven to 400 degrees and move your racks. You're going to bake this pizza on the very bottom rack. So if you need to remove your racks or move them to the top to get the extra rack out of the way, do that and leave your bottom rack on the bottom. You're going to let your oven preheat. As soon as your oven is preheated, now we're going to assemble the pizza. So your first layer is going to be pepperoni, and you want to cover the crust with pepperoni, but you don't want to overlap it. So just put that pepperoni in a nice design, nice rows, and cover the whole crust with it, even to the edge of the pans is fine. Now you're going to put the cheese on it. What you want to do first is put cubes of cheese around the edge of the pan about 1.5 to 2 inches apart, right on the edge of the dough. So they're going to be sitting on the edge of the dough, touching the pan the whole way around the pizza. How I start this is I put a cube in each corner and then I start laying my cheese out about 1.5 inches apart the whole way around. Once you get that done, you take the rest of the cheese and you just sprinkle it over the pepperoni and spread it out so it's nice and evenly spread. We'll have pictures of this up on Facebook and Instagram and in our recipe blog so you can see how the arrangement would look. Now, put some more pepperoni on top of that cheese, as much as you like. I put like about half as much as I put on the bottom layer on top of the cheese usually. Spread that on there. Now the sauce. So the way you sauce a Detroit-style pizza, I think the most effective saucing method is to put 2 strips of sauce long ways down the pizza, the whole way down from edge of the pan to edge of the pan, and you want to be about 2 inches in from the sides of the pan because your pan's 8 inches 9 inches wide. So you want to be 2 inches to 1.5 to 2 inches away from the side of the pan, and then you want to leave about 2 inches in the middle. So that leaves you 1.5 to 2 inch wide strips of sauce going right down the pizza long ways. And the thing that's nice about that is when you cut your pizza, every slice of pizza will have nice heavy sauce in it. And you can cut it, you know, if you cut it into 8 slices or 10 slices or however you want to cut it, you're going to have sauce on every one. I've seen people do these pizzas and make a fancy sauce design on them. And guess what? You run into like 4 of your slices aren't going to have any sauce. And I think that would be terrible and I would probably cry. So you put 2 heavy strips of sauce on top. Your pizza is assembled. We're going to put that into the oven on the bottom rack and we're going to set our timer and bake this for 30 minutes. Your pizza is going to be browned and bubbly and hot and delicious looking. The edges of your crust should be very dark brown, not necessarily burned, but very dark brown. When you take that out of the oven, this is going to be hot. When you take it out of the oven, you want to very carefully loosen the edges of the pizza from the pan. I used my big spatula / turner / lifter, whatever, like you use to flip pancakes. So I used a metal one of those very carefully in my beautiful pan so I didn't scratch it. Go around, loosen up the edges of your pizza, and very carefully, if you hold the pan like in your left hand with some sort of an oven mitt to keep yourself from getting fried, and take your spatula in your right hand. For left-handed people, reverse that. And I just lift up on the pizza very carefully, slide the pan out from under it, and release it onto a big cutting board. And voila, there is your Detroit-style pizza. And I'm telling you, I cut it into 8 slices. My husband says we should make smaller slices. I don't know. We can only eat 2 slices of it. You get 8 slices, you can eat, you know, I can eat 2 slices of it, and I am stuffed. This is so good. The crust is like kind of bready, fried, crispy on the bottom, and that cheese melts down around the edges of the crust and flavors it, even getting down into the bottom, you know, mixing with the olive oil. So you get this, the flavor of the crust is unbelievable due to the cheese. And the pepperoni cooks really well down under there. Like I said, if you use a pepperoni that's a really good quality and not too greasy, you won't even have a bunch of greasiness on your pizza. And the cheese will melt, but you'll still have some spots where it's very dense, you know? I'm telling you, this is it. This is the pizza. Now, for variations, you don't have to use pepperoni on it if you don't want pepperoni. Usually, a Detroit-style pizza usually is just like pepperoni's the only topping, okay? However, with these changing times that we have, and people are making them, you can actually put other toppings on here. I have put sausage and mushrooms. I've used banana pepper rings. You just don't want to put a lot of toppings on it and weigh the dough down. I think the last one I did was the sausage, mushrooms, and peppers, and it came out really good. It was very good. You just have to be careful. You don't want to weigh that crust down. But the pepperoni is definitely, I mean, you don't need another thing. This pizza is so good. So if you want to do something real fun that's very impressive, this is a great recipe. Just make sure you block out, like I said, you want like 4 hours that you're not going anywhere. So this is going to be the whole way through this year. All of these recipes are going to be, if you don't have anything at all to do today.
Is it the year of classics or is it the year of if you don't have plans?
If you're home and you want to kill 4 hours, but it was so good. And like, I would say this pizza, if you cut it into thinner slices, like if you cut it into 10, this would serve 5 people, probably definitely 4 people, because you know, it's very, very filling. But if you don't want to share, that's good too. So you can just keep it to yourself, but this is good. The crust of this recipe was very good. And the sauce is incredible. And you will, believe me, you will use all of the sauce. Even though you think, man, that's a lot of sauce, you'll use it all. There's no sauce left over. So go get yourself a USA pan and make yourself a Detroit-style pizza, Mary Mac says.
And make sure to check us out online on Facebook and Threads at Mary Mac Bakehouse, on Instagram at Mary Mac Bakehouse and Mary Mac Podcast, and on our website, marymacpodcast.com.
Thanks a lot for listening if you did, and if you didn't, too bad for you.